God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There are people who will consider this to be an insult. I don't think the man about whom I'm going to speak would be that. I don't think he'd be considered an insult. I don't know a thing about Phil Robertson. I know this, Jesus. When I think of Phil Robertson, I think of Jesus Christ. I don't confuse myself between Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty and Jesus Christ. I just know that every time I heard Phil Robertson speak, he spoke of Jesus. Now, when I learned that Phil had died, I asked some people who followed a bit of his career to fill me in a little bit. And I came away with a word about Phil Robertson, Jesus. I learned that it wasn't always fun being Phil Robertson, being around him, being married to him, or being parented by him, because there was a time when Phil Robertson apparently thought a lot about Phil Robertson, but Jesus. So I would imagine, given that the only thing I knew about him was about ducks and a beautiful beard and raising sons with beautiful beards, was Jesus, I imagine that would make Phil Robertson very happy to disappear into your Savior. I learned, and I didn't know this, I just learned this morning, I had no idea, that Phil Robertson had spoken to a guy named Donald John Trump and had said to him, you don't have much time left. You should really be president, and they're going to try to kill you. And then Phil Robertson gave him the gospel of Jesus Christ and wrote out a gospel for him and handed it to him. And years later, apparently the president still had that. So again, Jesus. Now, Phil Robertson, he's obviously was brought to fame to sell duck stuff, right? T-shirts and duck meat and things made from duck bodies and such. That's why he was brought to fame, right? I honestly have no idea what they did with the ducks they killed. I don't know if they sold duck meat. I assume they did, or duck eggs. I have no idea. Duck feathers, no idea. I know the media business, so I'm sure there's Duck Dynasty gear, hats and the like. I have no idea. I learned that he wrote a book that was confessional. It admitted that time where there was a lot of thinking about himself. A friend of mine in one of my Bible groups, Jason, coined the phrase, drowning in Lake Me. Drowning in Lake Me. We live near Lake Mead, not near it, but someplace that people around here go, Lake Mead in Utah, Arizona. Drowning in Lake Me, myself. So to the Robertson family, congratulations on having a man who was equipped to touch one person, me, who never knew a thing about your father or husband. But when I saw him, I knew he was going to speak about Jesus. And so I would believe he is with Jesus. Which should give us great comfort as well, because he handed the gospel to someone who turned out to be Donald John Trump, but you could hand the gospel to someone today and not know who they are. You could show God's kindness, and you could do that to a person and not know who that person is, or what effect that could have. And that's what we're called to do. And this is a good time to think about God's word. Always useful for teaching, rebuke, and correction, and for understanding the context of the time in which you live. You We're designed to live in this moment. And we are headed into a incredibly dangerous season. We're in it now. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 13, we read, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You'll be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Wars and rumors of wars and people being persecuted for Jesus, and we're going to talk about that today. We'll start with wars and rumors of wars and work our way down into what happened into my former hometown of Seattle, which is, and I'm not overstating this, I am not being hyperbolic, I'm not exaggerating, it is a place that stands firmly against Jesus Christ by policy. The mayor has said that biblical values stand against Seattle values. Said it in writing. Paraphrase, I mean, that's what he said. But I want to start with wars and rumors of war. You know how the media, the Mockingbird media, can't stop talking about our number one geopolitical foe, Russia? I mean, President Trump has grown really frustrated with Putin. And says Putin just wants to kill people, and that's new. President Trump has said, oh, he can be reasonable. But is Russia our number one geopolitical foe? I think it's China. And I want you to hear this piece, part of it by Jace Wilson, an opinion contributor out of all places, The Hill. The Hill is about as establishment DC publication as there is. And he describes a scenario in which you wake up and your smart home doesn't work. Please don't have a smart home. I don't think there's anything dumber than having a smart home. And I say that with all due love and respect to you. If it can be coded, it can be hacked. Please, please, please do not let that stuff run your house. He describes a scenario where you get into your car, but the GPS won't work. And he's liking this to something that he says China has, which is an off switch. That's the headline. China has an off switch for America, and we aren't ready to deal with it. And he goes through four factors to what is known in China as their assassin's maces. You see, the Chinese Communist Party has pledged to be the world's sole superpower by 2049. They've pledged to be the number one users of biological and chemical weapons. And they are doing mass reconnaissance in the United States of America. There was just a Chinese student arrested for using a drone to surveil one of our military bases in San Diego. There was another student arrested, an illegal Chinese immigrant, rather not a student, who broke into a military base, a Marine base, took pictures, and then another student, an actual student, arrested for taking pictures of our military bases. China has been buying land around our military bases and airports and important infrastructure and locating businesses that appear to be sock puppets of the Chinese Communist Party here. There is word that Chinese students who are allowed to come to school here are told they must spy. In this article, the author at The Hill, Jace Wilson, calls out the area of tactical electromagnetic pulse weapons, which China has developed. China has developed small, tiny weapons that can neutralize and destroy our electrical grid. The press of a button. We have about 9 important substations in our country, and if you take out 3 of them, the nation is done for quite a while. The financial system is done. And coordinating these well could wipe out all the cloud infrastructure in the nation, and almost everything's in the cloud. That's one aspect. The other is deep sea fiber cuts. China has announced that they have recently developed deep sea cable cutters that are capable of going to extreme depths to sever cables that traffic the internet. And this is happens around Taiwan and the Baltic Sea. Now, we don't know that China did that. We know that they can. And again, cutting a few lines at the bottom of the ocean could disrupt our military coordination, the internet, information flow around the country. And China is practicing this. They developed weapons to do it. They have anti-satellite weapons. So this is directly quoting from this piece in The Hill. As America stockpiles low Earth orbit satellites, China expands its anti-satellite arsenal to include missiles, parasitic satellites, and lasers designed to disable or destroy orbital assets. In March of 2025, the U.S. Space Force reported that Chinese satellites performed aggressive dogfighting maneuvers in orbit. This capability allows China to carry out precise strikes designed to trigger the dreaded Kessler cascade, a chain reaction of satellites collisions capable of destroying all low Earth orbit satellites within days and crippling internet communications and surveillance systems. I know our enemies are not flesh and blood. God's reminded me of that. But the Chinese Communist Party is our enemy, and they have pledged to be anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-America. One other area they talk about, and this is perhaps the most pervasive threat. I mean, EMPs are bad. It could put us into being a civilization from the 1900s. Most people aren't prepared for that. Cyber attacks. It turns out that we've learned, the U.S. investigators have found communication devices hidden in Chinese-made solar inverters and batteries. These devices can bypass firewalls that allow China then to remotely monitor, destabilize, and disable critical infrastructure. Chinese-made chips, routers, and switches embedded throughout the U.S. networks contain dormant firmware that upon activation could place critical U.S. infrastructure under Chinese Communist Party command. They have an off switch, a series of them for America. And yet all we hear from the Mockingbird media is Russia, Russia, Russia. Why? Well, China invests a lot of money in American media companies. They buy a lot of ad space. They underwrite coverage. China has underwritten entire departments of United States colleges and schools. They help fund professors. China, in fact, underwrites so much of our debt. Do you remember the tariff discussion? Do you remember how President Trump was Hitlering? Because people might pay a little bit more for a flat screen TV, or maybe a lot more for a flat screen TV, or he's Hitlering. Because he's saying that he's going to charge a 25 to 40% tariff if iPhones are not made in the United States of America. Do you remember that? Which one do you want? A country beholden to the Chinese Communist Party, who's developing a series of off switches for our nation, who's apparently forcing students to spy on us, that's purchasing land around our military bases, that's seen two of their citizens arrested for domestic spying, or paying a little bit more for an iPhone, or maybe a lot more, or maybe not having one. Which future would you prefer? A continued partnership with a country that has pledged to take down the United States fully, while at the same time pledging to be anti-Christ? Which one would you prefer? Which future? I think I'll choose the one that's most godly. I didn't say that the United States government is godly, but in comparison between us and China, I'd say it's far more godly. And with that, one party far more godly than the Democrat Party. We'll talk about that when we come back with what happened in Seattle, which has made it official. They are an anti-Christian city. We'll come back in A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. You know, I raised my daughter for the most part in what I call the separate country of Washington and within it, the separate country of Seattle. And this past weekend, a friend of mine was involved in a protest. I tried to get Matt on the show, Pastor Matt Shea. And I don't think it's even fair to call it a protest. It was an event in Seattle that was given a permit. A group of evangelical Christians who have the strangest belief that God created man and woman in his image, male and female. Strange, odd belief. Don't know where he got that other than Genesis and the entire structure of the Bible. So they went and did the unthinkable. They put up a stage and they spoke. The problem is this. They went into a park that is owned by Antifa. That's what Antifa thinks, and that's how the city behaves. That they under, even the Seattle's Police Officers Guild, which is generally a good guild. Seattle is short about 800 police officers. That matters in a city that size. There are portions of Seattle, in fact, that some nights there are districts in Seattle that have three cops working for a million people. Seattle Police Officers Guild is concerned as to why that permit was allowed in that park, which is known as Antifa's. That's Seattle Police Officers Guild. Why were they given a permit to go into Antifa's park? It's called Cal Anderson Park. And Cal Anderson Park was one of the areas that Antifa was allowed to seize. They and Black Lives Matter Incorporated were allowed to seize during the famous Summer of Love. It's a park where there were two murders. Both young men, one of them a teenager. There were multiple rapes. There was the attempted sexual assault of a man who was a street preacher carrying a cross. There was the burning down of buildings, the prevention of people from going to their homes. Then there was, just after Antifa and Black Lives Matter Incorporated were given their $1 billion, with a B, $1 billion payoff, there was the murder of a woman in the single most violent way I've ever heard by one of the most infamous meth addicts in the history of Seattle, a man who'd been arrested some 68 times. His name was Travis. So it was in this Cal Anderson Park that this group got to go protest. And by protest, I mean having a stage and speakers speaking the gospel. That was their protest. So Trans-Tifa and Antifa showed up. Trans-Tifa is very simply an offshoot of Antifa, and it's made up of very violent men who pretend to be women. And they like to carry baseball bats. Some of them like to cosplay being both a woman and Negan from The Walking Dead, carrying baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire. They make a habit of threatening moms who go to libraries and say, please don't sexually groom my kids. So it happens. Antifa, Trans-Tifa showed up and they started to beat up the Christians. And then they started to fight with the cops. And I'll play you some sounds from that. Independent journalist Jonathan Cho was there filming this. There was a Seattle City Councilwoman there. The man who used to pretend to try to solve homelessness for King County, paid a couple hundred grand a year to do nothing. He was there, Mark Doan. Here's the statement that the mayor of Seattle put out through one of his speechwriters. Headline, Mayor Harrell's statement on extreme right-wing rally at Cal Anderson Park. Now, mind you, again, the extremeness was this. Parents should not be forced to biologically and chemically mutilate their kids. That's pretty extreme. Jamie Howson wrote, May 24, 2025, writing for Harrell, today, Mayor Bruce Harrell released the following statement. Seattle's proud of our reputation as a welcoming, inclusive city for LGB, so-called T and Q communities, and we stand with our so-called trans neighbors when they face bigotry and injustice. Today's far-right rally was held here for this very reason, to provoke a reaction by promoting beliefs that are inherently opposed to our city's values in the heart of Seattle's most prominent LGB, so-called TQ+ neighborhood. When the humanity of so-called trans people and those who've been historically marginalized is questioned, we triumph by demonstrating our values through our words and peaceful protests. We lose our voice when this is disrupted by violence, chaos, and confusion. Anarchists infiltrated the counter-protest group and inspired violence, prompting SPD to make arrests and ask organizers to shut down the event early, which they did. So let's pause. Anarchists infiltrated the event. No, they didn't. A, Antifa are not anarchists. That is a lie. Antifa is pro-vaccine lockdown, so-called vaccine lockdown. They're in favor of forcing people to wear masks. They're in favor of enforced speech codes. They're in favor of enforced hiring. They're in favor of government kidnapping of kids. They're in favor of taxation, confiscatory taxation. They're not anarchists. They did not infiltrate the crowd. It is well known, and the Seattle Police Department's Guild, Seattle Police Officers Guild, verifies it's well known that Cal Anderson Park is considered Antifa territory. But that part about they intended to provoke a reaction, do you see that they were excusing the violence? I mean, these stinking Christians read from the Bible. That's inherently opposed to Seattle's values. Do you see that they're speaking on behalf of Seattle? You see here that it doesn't say Seattle's mayor's proud or Seattle's progressive community's proud. No, they're speaking on behalf of all of Seattle. And the statement continues with an implied but. While there are broad First Amendment requirements around permitting events under free speech protections, I'm directing the Parks Department to review all of the circumstances of this application to understand whether there were legal location alternatives or other adjustments that could have been pursued. The police department will complete an after-action report of this event, including understanding, preparation, crowd management, tactics, and review of arrests and citations. I'm grateful for those who make their voices heard in support of our neighbors without resorting to violence. Blah, blah, blah. They knew there would be violence. Everybody knew there would be violence. If you show up in Seattle wearing a Trump hat, be prepared to hit, to be hit. And they will put out on Twitter, on social media, spotted a Nazi walking here. And then they have a hashtag there, punch a Nazi. Jonathan Cho, this independent journalist who's followed all this, points out on Facebook that the mayor of Seattle seems to be panicking. Jonathan Cho writes, oh my goodness, Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell is in a panic mode after victim-blaming Christians for the Antifa violence over the weekend at Cal Anderson Park. He's now pulling the race card to garner sympathy for his disastrous response. Instead of showing humility and apologizing, he's doubling down on demonizing Christians. And this is what he said on Cairo 7. In Seattle, Cairo 7 is probably the second worst of the television networks. Quote, this is Harrell. We will not be intimidated by the kind of fear-mongering or divisiveness inspired by the rally and extreme rhetoric that takes aim at our residents in Seattle's second black and first biracial mayor. I had no idea he considered himself black. No idea. Biracial, perhaps? And by the way, do you actually get to be black and biracial? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Men are women, women are men. I take it back. What a stupid thing for me to ask. If you think I'm hyperventilating or being hyperbolic about Seattle being anti-Christian, let me tell you about a conversation that happened. I was in media working in Seattle, in radio, and I was taking a break between the show. I was in the little lunchroom area. And I simply was getting coffee, and one of my colleagues sneezed. There were three of us in this little kitchen. One of my colleagues sneezed. And just from reflex, I said, oh, God bless you. And a third colleague said, that's offensive. I said, I'm sorry, pardon me, what? That was offensive. What you just said was offensive. I said, what? Bless you or the sneeze? Are you talking to me? No, the sneeze wasn't offensive. I'm speaking to you. That was offensive. The bless you part? No, when you said that other word. Oh, God? Yeah, that's offensive. I wish you wouldn't say it. And I said, oh, I'll take that under advisement the next time I say it. I'll give you another example. I was in the same newsroom, and there was a producer, in fact, a producer who used to work for me, or rather on a show I was on. And he was sitting 5 feet from me saying, GD, God blank, GD. Oh, this GD story and this GD story and this GD politician and this GD politician. So it was my turn to be offended. And privately, I said to this producer, I said, hey, can I tell you something? I'm not in the habit of telling my colleagues how to speak. You're going to choose how you speak. I just want to let you know that it's hurtful to hear God blank GD. And again, I'm not asking you to stop. I just want you to know it's hurtful. He goes, oh my gosh, that never occurred to me. So you believe in that? In God? Yes. Oh, that never occurred to me. Okay. Well, I don't think I'm going to stop. Okay. Do Muhammad. He said, what? I said, Muhammad, do that. Just say, damn Muhammad. Or dang Muhammad. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Say, dang Muhammad. Oh, I don't think I'm going to do that. No, of course you're not. Seattle is spiritually fallen. And it's significant because the mayor's making it official. Now, this is rare that they're allowed to do this, and they were allowed to do it. Multiple arrests were made in Seattle after Antifa crashed this Christian concert in Callanerson Park.
We got arrests happening right now, Antifa rallies. Multiple people being arrested right now. Wow, we got some arrests going down here. Antifa militants being arrested now. We're going to have dozens of arrests today, guaranteed.
That was Jonathan Cho speaking, and it's very, very rare that the police are allowed to arrest Antifa at all. And when they do, Antifa is bailed out within the next couple minutes or hours. Here's how the Seattle Times reported a concert and prayer session. Ready? Headline. 23 arrests at heated fascist family values protest in Seattle. Again, what was the fascism? That parents should not be forced to chemically and surgically alter their kids to mutilate them. That's the fascism. That parents should be allowed to see the curricula that's taught their kids in government schools. That's the fascism. That God created male and female in his image, man and woman he made us. That's the fascism. Jonathan Cho spotted multiple people of interest within the Antifa crowd that gathered to mean mug, flip off, and later attack the worshiping Christians. So there was...
Mark Jones, I love you!
I'll tell you Mark Jones is.
I love you, Mark Jones!
Mark Jones is a guy who spent most of his time taking pictures of himself in the gym, shirtless. And other than that, kind of dabbled in pretending to solve homelessness with the King County Housing Commission. Couple hundred grand a year. Never did anything to solve homelessness. He was there on the side of Antifa. There was a Seattle City Councilwoman there on the side of Antifa. Alexis Mercedes Rink was there on the side of Antifa, on the side performing violence. This is part and parcel of Seattle that city council members stand with them. If you need more evidence of the nature of that place being fallen spiritually, I would offer you this. I told someone one day that had gone to church in the weekend. Again, it was working in media, radio in Seattle. We had three radio stations in the group. This happened to be an employee in the newsroom. And I said, just pleasant conversation, getting ready to go in there. What'd you do this weekend? Oh, fantastic time. We went to church. Oh, you go to church? Yeah. I've been going to church for years. Where do you go to church? Oh, just it's a Lutheran church south of the city. Oh, so you're a Christian? Yes. Okay, that explains a lot. What does it explain? Your bigotry. Oh. In what way have I shown bigotry? I have to go do the news. She never did tell me exactly what bigotry she was talking about. But that's just me. And I let that roll off because blessed are us when we're persecuted in his name. I would tell you this. If you want to see Babylon, you see it. See, Nebuchadnezzar had to send out armies to seize Jewish kids and children from other cultures. He had to go to war. All Seattle has to do is put up a flag in the sky saying, come here, you 13-year-olds, or even 12. We'll hide you from your parents. We'll get you your hormones and your surgeries. We'll get you your abortions. We will legitimately and for real put you in a new home without a court order, without a CPS intervention. And when your parents ask the state patrol from their state to come and find you, we'll make it illegal for the cops in our state to tell them where you're at or to help find you. Know that book, Thriving in Babylon? It's a good read. You should read it, and then you should understand. In some ways, it's worse in the separate country of Seattle than it was under Nebuchadnezzar. And God still wins. Blessed are we when we're persecuted in his name. Blessed are those people who went to that park. Praise God. We'll come back under Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note today and related to Memorial Day. Let me just tell you something about the Washington Post. Not that you don't know this about the Post. What they write in a headline on Twitter should cause the firing of everyone associated with this, I don't know, probably 15-word statement. We all saw, and well, I don't know that all of us mourned, but all of us with a heart for Jesus mourned, the murder of these two diplomats from Israel. And all of us, I hope, will spend a little bit of time noticing that there is an assassination culture developing here. And that is vitally important to see. I mean, we're to be in the world, meaning we see what's happening, but not of it. Clearly, we can't join into an assassination culture any more than we can join into an abortion culture or a murder culture. But there are not small pockets any longer of people who supported the assassination of the CEO of a company that calls itself United Healthcare. That's not small, and it's not now absent Hollywood voices. And now there is the defense of the man who went to go murder these diplomats and a calling for more of this. There's obviously the consistent calls for President Trump to be assassinated and the two attempts on his life. There was an attempt, and this somehow did not make the news. The political opponent of a representative now in Congress actually made an attempt to have her taken out or offered to do that. I don't know that he made the attempt, but he said he would. And a former candidate for Congress was willing to do that. He's on audio. Matt Gaetz had the audio. William Robert Baddeck III, according to Gaetz, and it's clear in this audio, threatened to have Representative Anna Paulina Luna assassinated if it looked like she was winning. This past week, he was sentenced to 3 years in federal prison. He pled guilty to transmitting an interstate threat of injury. How is that not one of the top news stories in the nation? He said he was going to have his Russian-Ukrainian hitmen go take her out, and he didn't mean anything other than dead. and he pled guilty to that. That's part of an assassination culture. Wars and rumors of wars. So the Post, the Washington Post, in regard to the killing of these Jewish diplomats, Israeli diplomats, rather. Listen to this full statement. This is from their Twitter page. The killing of two Israeli embassy staffers amplify confusion felt since the October 7, 2023 attacks about where Jews belong. What? Pardon? Now, if you're saying that Jewish people are concerned about this, say that. Amplifies concerns among some Jewish people as to where they belong. But that's not how this reads. The killing of two Israeli embassy staffers amplify confusion felt since the October 7, 2023 attacks about where Jews belong, wherever they want to go. That's the answer. Now, is it wise for them to go into certain Islamic countries? I think not. And I don't know that Jewish people go and evangelize their faith. We Christians are called to do that. We're told to. We're ordered to, of all nations. Is it wise for us to do it? Well, God's wisdom. How does that headline strike you? To me, it's deeply concerning because Jewish people in our nation, here in America, they belong wherever they choose to go. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. On this program, we do something that sometimes is difficult. We thank the Lord, our God, God Almighty, for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
It's not a criminal violation to enter the country illegally. It's not a criminal. It's a crime. It's not a crime.
Such a beautiful soundbite from her. It's not a crime to commit a crime. Soundbite number one in today's Tower Babbling. The mayor of Chicago issued a message on Memorial Day wishing everyone Happy Africa Day.
Hello, I am Mayor Brandon Johnson, and I am proud to join you in recognizing and celebrating Africa Day. The continent of Africa is made up of 1.2 billion people with diverse countries full of rich traditions, cultures, and heritage. The African diaspora can be found in cities and countries around the globe. And right here in Chicago, our proud African communities have made indelible contributions to the growth and fabric of our amazing city. So this Africa Day, let us take a moment to celebrate the achievements of the people of Africa, the progress made by African nations, and the traditions and culture they have shared with us. And let us also show them that we will embrace and support them as they continue to overcome and face their challenges head on. Thank you, and happy Africa Day, everyone.
He's the mayor. I'm sorry. Wait, hold on a second. Chicago's where? Illinois? Wait, it's not Africa? My bad. For a second, got confused. The mayor of Chicago. Memorial Day. Let's move on. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This woman believes Africans invented everything.
So the brain drain, Africa really needs the brains. We are the most intelligent race on the face of the planet. We invented almost everything that made this society and every society on the face of the planet.
Does that sound ethnocentric to you? Does that sound black supremacist? I mean, no doubt. Africans have contributed to the world, of course. They're human beings, gifted by God. They come to the Lord Jesus, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But does that sound black supremacist to you? Eurocentric or ethnocentric? Does to me. Wait, I'm sorry. I forgot the rules. According to Barbara D'Angelo and DEI rules, only white people can be racist. I apologize. So confused. Africa and Illinois and black people cannot be racist. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Listen to this Seattle attorney defend an illegal alien after he drunkenly drove into American trooper Christopher Gadd, killing him instantly.
And when these three circumstances collided, not only did it result in a catastrophic accident, it resulted in the tragic death of Trooper Gadd, but it is not a crime. Not all car accidents are crimes.
Did you hear the part where he was driving at 100 miles per hour and was drunk and drove right into the trooper, but it's not a crime? That's a Seattle attorney. Did I mention earlier? I think I did. That Seattle is completely spiritually fallen? You shall not lie, counselor. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
If I stood up and lied, you would be the first person to say, James Carville lost all credibility last night when he said X, Y, and Z. Yeah, I can spin, I can shade. Everybody does that.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, on a day of Memorial Day, there was a great privilege I had as a talk show host in Seattle that can veer into what some people have called Hero Todd stories. I beg you to hear this through what I experienced. It was not Hero Todd, far from it. It was a privilege given to me, the very least I could possibly do. I was doing the radio program and had mentioned that I'd seen the movie Lone Survivor. And if you don't know this story, it's a story of an operation called Red Wing. And a bunch of our SEALs, or actually a small team of SEALs, went into the mountains outside of Afghanistan. And there they encountered a huge presence of Taliban. Their op was compromised, and I believe there were five of them on the mission. Four of them were killed. One person lived, Marcus Luttrell. And I'm duty-bound to tell you there's since been a whole bunch of controversy about that. I've learned about this in the SEAL community. I've never served. I just am blessed to have a lot of friends who did. And there's a lot of controversy about this and how it all went down. But I saw the movie, and there was one scene in particular that really stood out to me because of the culture of SEALs. And it was a gunfight, and they were engaged by superior numbers, our guys. And they kept saying, I'm good. Guys, jump down a cliff. Come up with broken femurs, but they have to keep moving. Are you good, brother? I'm good, man, I'm good. At one point, one of the SEALs is hit by gunfire or shrapnel from an RPG, and shot all at once. And not to be gross, but there was some gray matter. Like he'd been shot in the head. And he touched his head and he looked, he goes, they shot me in the head. They shot me in the head. And one of his fellow SEALs said, yeah, we're gonna get that. You're good. We're gonna seal that up. Are you good? Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. We just need to get to higher ground. We're faster than there. We're going to take these guys. I'm good. And I watched that. I thought, no, but you're not good. No one's good. I mean, the training these guys go through and the pain they put their bodies through and are forced to put them through, they can overcome anything physically until God takes them. There are people who've not been in that culture, and I've not, but who've not had the chance to observe it up front, have no idea what these men are capable of doing and putting up with and sustaining and going through. So one SEAL makes it out. And I spoke about this on the air, and this was around Thanksgiving time. And I said, you know what? Sometimes you guys who made it home are not good. And Memorial Day is about the guys who did not make it home. That's what it's about, people who gave their lives. Veterans Day, of course, is for everybody who served. but I spoke those words. Sometimes you guys are not good. And you need to sometimes just admit, hey, I'm not good. And I got off the air. I was wrapping my things up. And my producer, Chris, came to me and goes, hey, you're going to want to take this call. Okay. And I went into the studio. Hey, this is Todd. And it was a woman. She said, Todd, we were just listening to your program. I'm here with my adult son. He serves in combat and he's not good. Will you please talk to him? Yes. Put him on. And they're outside of a grocery store about 2 hours away from Seattle. And he said, hey, my mom said I'm not good. Well, are you thinking about ending it? Yeah. All right, where are you? I'm in Bremerton. Okay, I'll be right there. Well, sir, you can't drive up here. Please don't call me, sir. I didn't earn that from you. I'm coming up. Please just stay there. So I got to drive up. I got to see him. I got to meet him. God worked through me to have him not go end it. And he'd planned to do that after Thanksgiving. I had nothing to do with this. I got to watch it happen. And he continued on. And he and I became friends. Honor of a lifetime. And he since helped me. He helped me in a very, very significant way. If you are right now not good, and sometimes Memorial Day is super hard on the ones who made it home. And if you spent Memorial Day in pain because you made it home and your brothers didn't, that's what they wanted. They died so you could make it home. No greater love has man than to lay down his life for his brother. They wanted that. They wanted you home. You are where they wanted you. So go speak. Go be heard. Get with a group of people who understand that if you can't find one, go to a church and beg to be connected. We love you. And your brothers died so you could make it home. Please remember that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, until the Lord gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.